This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music.
Andy Purcell. Andy, can you hear us?
Andy, you're muted.
You're muted, Andy.
Hey, how you doing?
There we go.
I'm so excited to have you back because I did not know when I posted the song to You're the Right Kind of Wrong.
Right amount of wrong.
Right amount of wrong. See, you're like, what kind of
fan? It's like a tongue twister.
Yeah. No, but when I did that, the response it got, like, people responded to that song and the video. See, now that you didn't have the video out yet when you were here last.
Oh, I can't remember. I've done
a few interviews. You didn't. I only did you. You're like on tons of interviews now. Look at you. You're going to be so famous.
Oh, man. I appreciate that. That video is just, it's near and dear to my heart. It's in my hometown, and I got to represent a little Arcadia, Florida.
Arcadia, Florida there. And I will tell you that entire video is awesome. And since I got you here, and then we're going to talk about a couple of the other songs also.
Yeah.
But with you here, I wanted to play the video in pieces because it is so well done. And this is we just had Neil McCoy on. You know, songs like Wink, right? Just became, this song really could be that. Like, this is a line dancing, yeah. I can see this everywhere type of song. I said that to you last time. And after you released it, I really believe that. Everybody watching and listening should feel the same way. So I'm going to hit mute, okay. And then we're going to comment on this. I think this is just a phenomenal country song. And let's make sure I got it queued up here. So we're going to do Andy Purcell, and we're going to do Right Amount of Wrong. See, I got it right this time. The official video of Right Amount of Wrong. So here we go. I want everybody to sit back and watch this. Take it in. This is awesome. This is just, I love when you see a new artist just taking over. And so let's watch this video.
Right, 104.5, Mark in the morning here. That was the conversation with Waylon Jennings and Hank Williams Jr. I wish I could have been in the room for that. But you don't have to wish to be in the room for this. Tonight, Rattlers go west of the moon. Andy Purcell and his guys will be down there, get down with the get down. Put your best clothes on. Head on down there for a great show. 7 p.m., Rattlers go west of the moon. Andy Purcell.
Andy. What are you doing back in town?
Hey, Jay, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
We're going to be down at Rattlers tonight at 7 o'clock.
Oh, tell D and the boys that I said hi.
I'll definitely do that.
Oh, Andy, be sure and tip JC.
Oh, I won't forget.
I'm sure proud of you.
We'll see you later. Thanks, Jed.
Down and dirty, she ain't afraid to work. She leaves a few unbuttoned when she wears that flannel shirt. She's got a certain smile when she wants to play. You know she drives me crazy with her not-so-lady ways. Sunday dress is a little too tight, skinny dipping in the broad daylight. That girl turns me on. She's just the right amount of wrong.
All right, so I'm going to cut because we got all the way to the chorus here, and I want people to really take it in. The thing, there's so much here, Andy, with this video. First of all, where did you find gas prices or $1.77? That was that really threw me for a loop there.
Like, when was this? Time warp. And whose Ford was that?
That's my truck. I bought that.
Oh, that's a beautiful.
Yeah, I bought that truck for the film.
75? What year is that?
That's actually a 77 with a 79 front end.
Second guess. Okay.
Sweet. Yeah. Yeah, I love that truck, man. I wanted to find an iconic vehicle for this video. If you, you know, if you watch Dukes of Hazzard, Urban Cowboy, and Coyote Ugly, and you put all them together, that's what we got. So you can kind of, you'll see it all throughout the video. But y'all, you know, in all those shows, well, in the 80s, 90s, or 70s, you had an iconic vehicle. Urban Cowboy, we had that black truck, and then you had the General Lee. So I wanted an iconic vehicle to really stand out. And, man, we hit it out of the park, man. I got that out of Idaho.
I used to have a 66 F-100 and sold it right before we started having kids. And wish I held on to it.
Man, yeah, those are great. They're great trucks, man. They don't make them like that anymore.
No, they don't.
No.
No. And but again, it's Lauren Leck. Is that is that her name?
Lauren Litch. L-I-C-H. Yep.
L-I-C-H.
Man,
she did a great job in this video.
Man, I'll tell you what, all the girls, my buddy Jared Allen, who owns Crazy Horse Productions, he's from Oklahoma, grew up with Blake Shelton. I met him through my wife. She's from Oklahoma. It's just like a small, it's like a small town thing that happened here in Florida. And he's a filmmaker, been in acting and did all that stuff. And I told him about this. He's been doing all my videos and he's been following me around with a camera for like 5 years. And I said, man, this is my idea on this song. I really think it's got that redneck girl kind of feeling, Bellamy Brothers throwback, you know. And I just got this vibe on this song. And he said, all right, let's do it. So we did auditions out down in St. Pete, you know, right not too far from you. And we had about 15 girls audition. I've never been a part of this. I felt like American Idol judge. I was just going to sit in the back. And we had some more experienced people in the business looking at their character and how they acted. And I'm telling you, every one of these girls, they're just superstars in what they do. We told them we're looking for Daisy Duke. And they come in there with their Daisy Dukes on and they just flip a switch. Jared would tell them, hey, you know, this is the scene that we're looking for, like action, you know, and they'd flip a switch, do their thing and stop. And then we ended up getting like five or six out of the 15 girls throughout the process. And it was just an awesome experience. And I'm telling you, these girls, it was awesome, man. Everybody, my whole town had 35 people on production crew, all independently. You know, everybody helped out, hotels, food. We had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, 2 days of filming, 4 hours sleep each night. And it was just awesome experience, man. So I could go on and on about this whole thing.
That was well done.
Hey, Dad. Yeah. As the video continues, right, then you're playing in a country bar, saloon type, and then she walks in and the line dancing breaks out. And
yeah, that's Rattler's Old West Saloon.
It's there you go.
Yeah,
Rattler's says is it so? It's out there right now. Where is it located?
Right downtown Arcadia. You can go to it. They're actually, I think, this weekend they're having wrestling there.
Live wrestling.
Wrestling. Yeah. There you go, wrestling.
It's wrestling, man.
Yeah.
Well, that is again. When I first heard that and I posted it and it resonated, it's such a great song. I see that. I could hear that everywhere. But you've been busy.
It's one of those songs.
Oh, go ahead.
It's one of those songs you don't want to stop. Once it started, you just want to keep it going. It's just got good vibe. But I do want to point out, Don, every guest tonight mentioned Blake.
Yeah, it's a Blake show tonight. Yeah.
This show brought to you by Blake Shelton.
Yes, Blake Shelton. Right? Well, the first guest we had on wrote his number one song for him. Then Neil was because he X'd out. Is that X now or tweeted? What do they call it now?
I think they call it X.
It's X'd out that Neil should replace him on The Voice. And now you got a guy that grew up with Blake Shelton helping you.
Yeah, Jared did. I'll tell you a quick story real quick. You had Neil on here. Neil's been the artist I've crossed paths with the most of my career. When I saw him on there, I was like, are you kidding me? So Neil... When I was I opened for him, me and the band, a while back, one of the shows that we crossed, and he was backstage, and I'm gonna get to the Blake thing, and I had lost my voice like 3 weeks prior to this gig, and it was one of the biggest gigs I wanted to be a part of because Neil's one of my heroes, man. He's just a good dude, and I got it back like that Monday, and we were opening for him on Friday night, and when I was backstage with them. Jared had a camera on us. He filmed this conversation I had with Neil, and I was like, Neil, how do you keep your vocals, you know? And he was showing me, you know, don't let the microphone do the work. He was teaching me, you know, because that guy, he's still getting hitting it hard, man.
Yeah.
And he was like, get lots of sleep, water, you know, and just going through the whole spill of vocal coaching, right? So I saved that video for a long time. And never had, and I just had it in, you know, on the file. And then this whole thing came out with Blake throwing his hat in the ring for Neil to be a coach. And I posted that video. I was like, this is why Neil should be a coach, man. He's doing this stuff and he don't even have to do that. And Neil shared it, man. It went crazy, man. It got a lot of views. So yeah, Neil's, it's pretty cool to see him out still getting it, man. I always tell people, if you never seen Neil, you need to go out and see him, because he's all across the board, man. Entertainer, man, just a good dude.
When you blew out your voice, was that pretty scary? Because I think about what Steven Tyler of Aerosmith's going through right now, where, I mean, I guess he shredded his vocal.
Oh, really?
He's out for 30 days. Yeah, they were bleeding. Yeah. So when that happened to you, was that kind of scary, or is this just like, nah, I've been through it before?
Yeah, it was. I didn't blow my vocal cords. It just went away. It didn't hurt. I just lost my voice, and I was just sitting there. It just started gradually going away. And I knew we had this gig, and I was like, man, I got to get it back. I don't know. I was drinking like honey tea and just everything that you could see, home remedies, you know, trying to get it back. And we had to rehearse still to get ready for the show. And I was actually just talking the words in rehearsal, you know, just to try to keep with the band and, you know, everybody can stay in the groove. But yeah, it was scary because I never had lost my voice like that before, you know, but luckily I didn't like stretch them or, you know, like Steven Tyler, damage. But yeah, I was very lucky, but Neil did that for me and I'll never forget that. I mean, just it's really, really cool. But yeah.
Wow.
It's a
Don, did you line up tonight with all these dots connecting?
No.
That's
it's
crazy.
Like the nine ways to Blake Shelton.
Well, I mean, no, like Andy was a last minute, really. I mean, I reached out to his
for
PR person. Well, because I knew that after Neil, and because I loved Right Amount of Wrong, I'm like, this is a great time to follow up because you got two more songs out now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd be a great person. I didn't know. That's the connection I didn't know. So
yeah. Right. And they say, you know, Jared, that when I first come out of studio with Right Amount of Wrong, he knows Neil McCoy too. He's been with me, you know, every experience, but he was like, man, that's got a little Neil in it. And people have said that. And you know, here's another connection. The lady, and I haven't told this to Neil, I haven't seen him in a while. But the lady who instructed his dance for, maybe Wink. It might be Wink. The dance instructor, she's actually in his video. She was our instructor at the saloon. She was in there. If you watch the behind the scenes, she worked with Neil. She knows Neil real well. But I'm telling you, it was just everything lined up, you know, and it goes back to Neil, goes back to Blake. It goes back to country music. You know, it's just a good vibe on everything on that song. I mean, I just did a radio tour. I was 4 weeks from, I told people all the way as west as Nebraska, as far north as Wisconsin, as far south as Texas, and east to New York. And I covered probably 25 stations across the 4 weeks, all across. I'm talking about Vermont, New York, upstate New York, four in Wisconsin, Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas, Texas. I was just in Longview. I was where Neil was from. I was at the station where he goes in and records. I said, man, Neil comes in here all the time. You know, he's right down the road. But, yeah. So
it's a Blake and Neil connection.
Look at this. Yeah. It's crazy. I'm telling you, it was it's crazy, man. I don't know. You can't – this whole music business, the whole musical journey for me is I wrote a song. I worked for a power line company. I was a power lineman for a long time, and a power line fell down in the guy's yard, and that's how all this has started for me. I wrote a song, and this guy had a studio in his house with the power line fell down, and everything was history. Started a music foundation, American Idol kid come out of the foundation, and things just blossomed from there. And I don't want to look back and say, man, I wish I'd have done this because I had the opportunity.
So wait, a power line fell in his yard. How does that conversation go with, hey, I got a recording studio. You want to come in here?
Yeah. So when, so in line and power lines, they're a brotherhood, right? So you're with these guys and girls.
Wichita lineman, man. Wichita lineman.
Yeah.
Glenn Campbell right here.
Yeah. And you work with these guys 24/7 more. You're with those guys more than you are with your family, and they know everything about them. You know, everything about, you know, those guys. And they knew I was writing songs. I was just going to record a song just to say I did it in my lifetime. I thought I was going to be in my hooks, climbing poles, you know, for the rest of my life. And I was just searching for a studio. You know, I hadn't picked Nashville. I was kind of intimidated by Nashville because, you know, that's where the pros are. And I was like, man, you know, in my mind, you know, I was like, I'd like to visit, but I don't know if I could hang with those people. And so Tropical Storm Debbie hit. I wrote a song called The Fans, which is out on all platforms. Very first song I ever wrote in my life. And 2012, Debbie hit. I was working. I remember exactly what tree, right behind a racetrack gas station, midnight. I was trimming the trees off the lines. My phone rings. My buddies call me. They're on a crew across town in Palmetto, Florida. And they say, hey, man, we found a studio for you, man. I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, man, this power line fell down this guy's house, and we're putting it back up. His service, and he's got a 5-star studio at his house, and we got his card, man. I'm like, okay. So I give him a call, and we hit it off, and his name's Dale Couch, and he started a music foundation in Bradenton. And then he just would give anybody opportunities. He's been in bands his whole life. He was a military trumpet for the Air Force band, and just very heartwarming, good individual. And he's helped out so many different people, all different ages, record a CD just to have. And he also did all the like festivals and stuff. And so I started learning the business with him, setting up bands. And I didn't have a clue about, you know, hooking up bands or anything about it. I was just had a guitar in my room. Actually, my room was in a fifth wheel RV. So, you know, the whole story is just the craziness. I could write a book about it. But like I say, in 2014, he's American Idol guy. Sam Wolf was cut number 5 on that season. And he ended up, I mean, number 5 on that show was pretty big. I want to say it was Keith Urban in there. And he came back to Bradenton, got a key to the town. The Civic Center. Here I am playing the foundation concerts. You know, we'd have 10 acts. I'd be one at a farmer's market, maybe playing 2 or 3 songs of my own or covering. And here we are. Here comes Sam back to Bradenton doing a homecoming concert for the whole town. And, you know, he went from a couple followers to 50,000 followers. And I'm one of the opening acts. And then things just progressed from there, man. And ended up going to Nashville. The whole Nashville experience, I could go on and on all night about everything, man. And I feel very blessed about this whole journey. And I tell people, that's why I just keep going. That's the whole inspiration, is just keep going and don't quit, you know? So yeah, it's definitely been a really cool story.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
you are blessed.
Well, yeah. And you know, it goes back to what Neil was saying, and I think that should be the theme from now on, is the brother you had with your workers, like all the linemen there, like you said, they're like family. You spend all your life with them, and look what they did. I mean, they were like excited to call you in the middle of a tropical storm where they're not sleeping and going, dude, we got a number for you.
I've been
so tired and been like, God.
It's crazy, you know, and man, just looking back on all the opportunities that I've had, I started working with the foundation, and a guy I know is like, man, we got to put a band behind your voice, man. I'm like, man, there ain't no way I can have a band. I work every weekend. I get one weekend off a month. I was a troubleman for the power company. So first responder, I did that for like 8 years. So any call that comes into the power company, all the way from house fires to a flickering light, hospitals out, anything, you're the first guy to be on the scene to make it safe to the public. or get the lights back on. So there was no way I could build a band and do this. But with my seniority in the company, there was a department that I worked for, that I ended up transferring to, that worked 4 10-hour days. So Monday through Thursday, it was a kind of not a step back, but I'd had to get back out on the crew, and I was working by myself for a long time. So I had that transition, but in my mind, I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going all in. You know, so September of 2015, I transferred. October of 15, started a band, and it started on Craigslist. I started reaching out, got a PA system, and ended up recruiting the guy that sold us the PA system, and just things blossomed. So that was the end of 15. Fast forward, April of 16, our first show was in the yard where the power line went down. I put a whole barbecue and cookout together. I said, we practiced for like 6 months, and I told the guys, I said, hey, my first show, I wanted to be in that yard because this is where it all started, and I'll invite friends and family. Cool. So if we don't sound good, at least we're only in front of friends and family, you know? So that was my very first show, April 16. We played a couple shows throughout the year, a couple of small little barbecues. And then, so February of 17, we opened for John Michael Montgomery. Less than a year and a half in a band. Holy I've smokes. Ever been yeah. in a band. John Michael Montgomery was February. That was about 2,000 people. February, March, April, 4,000 people. Clay Walker, we opened for. And then April, May, we went to the Suwannee River Jam up in Live Oak, Florida. It's in the Panhandle. It's been going on for 30 plus years. And we went up there to audition, and we ended up taking the headliner local act over 16 acts. And that's about 30,000 people, I think. And we opened after Hunter Hayes and Billy Currington. So that was right there in that first year. And then every year since then, besides the COVID year, we've had at least two national artists that we've opened for. So we just, you know, all being independent, just getting out there and knocking the door down when it opens, because the window of opportunity is real small, you know. So I tell everybody, you just got to be ready, man.
So everything's been going well. So there's no crazy band stories?
Yeah, you know, I had a DJ ask me I was in Lubbock, Texas, and that's where I was actually in the station. Waylon Jennings was a DJ there, and Lubbock, Texas.
I keep hearing Lookinback, Texas in my head, but.
No, Lubbock.
If that's where
he's got a hall there. Famous. Oh, shoot. He was with Buddy Holly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Sorry. Buddy Holly.
Yeah, he was a DJ there. They showed me video of him actually in that studio. So, man, what a great trip I did on that radio tour. But he was. Where was I going? I'm sorry.
Crazy band story.
Crazy band story. He asked me off the cuff, like, so a lot of DJs are like, you already know some of the questions. This guy's like, I'm going to shoot this at you. What, give me a crazy band. I was like, all right. We did a Salt Life tour last year, all around the peninsula of Florida. And in Tampa, we were playing downtown at Rick's on the River. And my guitar player, we were at a break, goes and is eating hot wings. I don't know what happened. But my bass player, Johnny, was over there doing the Heimlich to him. He had choked on the chicken wing. No. I mean, he was turning blue, like, you know, and then it's just crazy. That's a crazy story. Like, you know, turning around. It was like one of the things that really stuck out to me, like, you know, popping out. That's
what the DJ.
He survived. Luckily, Johnny's from, you know, he has an EMT background. He used to do volunteer that, so he just knew right then.
You're like, suck it up, it's time to work.
Up come that wing, no more wings for Jake, and here we go. So
you can't be in a band without a crazy band story. It's just part of the life.
Here's our new song, All Choked Up. This one goes
out. There you go. Yeah,
got a new song.
We're hopping. Yeah, that was a crazy one, man.
Well, you like I said, with you here, There are a couple other songs you've got out, and I figured I want to highlight those for people. Me, Myself, and the Tide is a breakup song, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's about a guy who gets he's breaking up with his old lady, and he takes a one-way ticket to Cozumel and on first class and can't afford it. And he's sitting on the beach and with a salty drink and watching the tide, just him and the tide, and he ain't coming back.
You know what? It could be because as a parrot head, I'm still licking my wounds from the loss of Jimmy Buffett. But when I listen to that, I think, man, if you threw a steel drum in there.
A little Caribbean sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's got that vibe. When I first heard that song, I went to Nashville this last run with six songs and two of my own, and I grabbed four from the writers. This is the first time I've ever reached out to writers. And that's another story in itself, how that all worked out. But Me, Myself, and the Tide came from Judy Class, Joe Hansen, and Victoria Banks, which Victoria's a big writer in Nashville. And when I heard that song, what stuck out to me the most was the chorus. The chorus is really catchy. And that's when you're singing to these beach crowds and stuff, or any crowd, you want something with a hook that everybody can sing. It's real easy, you know, and that song is super easy. I can sing it the first time and get the next chorus coming around and people can sing back. But yeah, that song stuck out to me. And I told, when I went to the studio, Mark Dreyer up there, man, he's just a well-known guitar player and producer, man. This guy's awesome. He brought in the A-list session players. I had Reba McEntire's pedal steel player. That steel you hear on there is Mike Johnson. And that guy is phenomenal, man. He tours with Reba, but he's been on pretty much every steel song you hear on the radio is him. Oh, Jason Aldean and Carrie Underwood, Cody Johnson. Like, he made it just that Caribbean style, you know, sound on there. That's what stands out the most to me. But yeah, they made it come to life. I mean, it's just it's a really cool song. We love singing that one to the crowd. And yeah, it's got that beachy vibe. So it's great, in Florida.
It's great.
So, Me, Myself, and the Tide.
Well, let's do this. I've got it queued up here. So let's listen a little bit of this. You heard Dean basically aptly say, you know, you don't realize how much Jimmy Buffett has an influence. And that sometimes happens with our artists that we love, is you have their music and then they're gone and you're like, oh, I can't, they're not here anymore. And I was like deep diving back through Jimmy's music. Well, here's Andy kind of keeping it alive and with his own spin on it. This is Me, Myself, and the Tide. Oh, and the internet decides to buffer, so give me
a... She broke my heart. Where she is now, I couldn't tell. So I bought a first class ticket, one way to Cozumel. I got my bags packed, I kick my seat back. I can't afford it, but I'm alright with that.
See, you know, this is a song that is a live song. You've got the hey, yo. Man, when you get people receptive to this song, you're going to hear that back.
Yeah,
you could spend 3 minutes right there, like, you know, those little lulls, and go, hey, yo.
Stop the music and let everybody.
Yeah,
I did that when I was on the radio tour, and midway and during the tour, one of the DJs, he lives at a camp. Well, during the season, off season, he's in a campground and he stays there on the lake and goes back and forth from the studio. And he's like, hey man, would you mind coming out here and doing a little acoustic show? and I'll bring the campers out and all that and, you know, have a good time. And I said, yeah. So I left Wisconsin, flew to Connecticut, and it was right on Hopeville Pond and by Norwich area. And I sang that song, and I was getting the crowd into it, and I couldn't get off that, you know, hey, the Lion King song, or you know what I'm talking about. And they kept saying it, and I was like, whoa, hold on, I gotta sing this and try to get back out of that melody and get back into the song. So it was like, you know, or not hey oh dayo dayo, you know,
banana song, banana boat song.
Yeah. So
very Balcony, right?
Yeah.
I started singing, and that was the first thing that came to mind. And then people were singing that part, and I was like, "Oh man, I gotta think." You know, is this?
Oh, were people singing back "Daylight Come" and "We Want to Go Home"? Were they doing that?
No, they were just saying "Dale." You know, it's real close to this chorus on here. You know, it's like, "Hey, I wanna be where the horizon is wide." You know, "Sail." You know, it's like it's real close. You know,
now you could though, because some of the masters, like Bono. Bono's famous for introducing like other songs within the song, and you'll be listening, you'll be like, okay, he just brought in Lou Reed. Okay, now he just brought in Rolling Stones. You could literally right there at some point come back to that and then do the daylight coming, we wanna go home. You know, you could play along with it.
I think Neil has that in his show too. That's crazy you say that. And
no way, he does.
Yeah, I think so. I've seen a show that he does that. Night. He does something like that. But yeah, you're talking about medleys. In our band, we do medleys all the time. Like I like throwing what I call musical punches to the crowd. Like, and it shows how versatile the band is and not just a jukebox. We got medleys, and we got one that goes from it goes from Led Zeppelin. To Joe Diffie, to Jason Aldean, all tribute to Joe Diffie. Yeah, and it's a really cool, you know, spin. Like, you don't see these coming. We do Blake Shelton, Led Zeppelin to LaGrange. We do AC/DC to Luke Bryan. Like, all these, there's so many different songs and different, in everybody's Andy, songs.
Do you go, home. You're talking about LaGrange.
Yeah.
Medleys are awesome. Medleys are awesome sauce. Great way to go.
Yeah,
to
do it. I love
definitely them. Live. Yeah.
Yeah. They're so fun too. Cause it, you know, a lot of guys, especially in my band, they got a rock background or they, you know, they grew up with that classic rock, or, you know, my mom was a true rocker, man. My dad was in the oldies. The country came from my town I grew up in. So I have all that in those ingredients, you know, and that's what makes me, you know. So I love music that moves you. I really don't like to stand just in one spot. I'm usually out in the crowd, high-fiving all over the place, because when I go to a show, I like to have that kind of experience, you know, to take. I always think, you know, and this is my motto. Ever since I started, I tell this to the band, because sometimes we play to a couple of people. Sometimes there's 1,000 people. It's all the time is different. But I say, we're going to make the grass dance and the asphalt hotter. Give 110 or don't bother. Right. So it don't matter who's out there. You know, you just make it the best. Make that grass dance if there's nobody standing there. Make the asphalt hotter if there's nobody standing there, you know, and give 110, because you never know, that one person might be going through something that you took out of the real world just for a couple hours. You know, and gave them the best experience or a memory, you know, something that they'll never forget. And that's, I always sell that to the guys, like, we're out here making memories, man. That's what it's all about. You know, we got to just take them out of the real world. They don't want to think about bills. They don't want to think about medical, anything, family problems. That's why they're there, you know, to have a good time. So that's what I'm always thinking all the time when I'm up there.
Great perspective. Preach on. Yeah.
Preach it. Man. Now, lastly, you got a song coming out on 10-4.
10-4.
For the truckers.
Yeah.
Great. That's a great release date. You know, there's always May the 4th be with you. Now you got 10-4 for a trucker song.
10-4. And, you know, Trucker Appreciation Month is right now throughout this month. And 10-4, we talked to my whole team, and they came up with that, and I was like, are you kidding me? That is awesome. And we got to do it. 10-4, man. And it just, it works. It's a really cool song.
Do you have a CB radio?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do. Yeah,
They're almost extinct, aren't they?
You got to tell me what your handle is.
You know, in high school, I had one, and I had groundhogs tires on my truck, and that was my handle, groundhog.
Groundhog?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, we all had CBs.
Yeah, and I did too back in the day.
My dad had one, and you came up with cool nicknames for yourself.
Yeah, it was so fun, man.
My grandpa was a trucker, so yeah, my dad had one.
Yeah.
Woodstock and Sawdust, I think, were their handles.
They're basically
dead now. That's kind of sad, though. They don't really use them anymore.
What, nickname handles? Yeah.
No, CBs.
Oh.
No.
What, is it all over the phone now? And is that how it is?
Yeah, Bluetooth, you know.
Oh, man. There was something like my dad was ridiculous, though. And if he watches this, he'll probably go, shut up. But he used to have like 7 antennas on the car.
Oh, he was that guy.
On the station wagon. Well, we owned the family business was the electronics store growing up. We were like the only TV repair business in town when I was growing up. And
self-promotion, right?
But then he had a Radio Shack. He owned a Radio Shack. So then he had all the gadgets. So there would be 7 antennas on the car. Like when you go to the car wash, it was 10 minutes taking antennas down. But one of them was for the CB radio. And it was great. Like
you try everything out.
And then you find different channels. You go breaker 1-4, breaker 1-5, and try to find a channel that somebody's on.
Yeah, there's a whole slang, man. And if you read up on it, man, there's all different stuff.
Oh yeah.
My this song that I wrote, this one's one that I wrote, one of my buddies I wrote it about. He died in two more days, it'll be 2 years he's gone. And he passed and and his last job, he was like a foreman for a trucking company, but his whole life was bleeding diesel, man. Like he used to sit in his dad's semi in the driveway and just call up people and say, hey, he'd be like 10 years old and said, this is Redfish. That was his handle. It's Redfish. I'm coming into town. Is there any place to eat? You know, and they're like, oh, the clock restaurant's 24/7. And he said, is there plenty of parking? You know, he's only 10 years old and acting like he's driving into town. And always, like I said, if somebody was bleeding diesel, it was definitely him. And I got the opportunity when I got into power lines, I got my CDL Class A license. And my general foreman at the time was like, I want everybody to have this license so I don't have to shift crews around to drive the semi truck for bigger jobs. So we all got our license, and he said, it's always good to have in case the line work shuts down and people are striking or whatever, you can always go drive a truck, you know? And so I'm very thankful to get that license. And we have in our town a lot of orange groves and cattle is Arcadia. And
there's still orange groves? I mean, they were plowing them around here.
Yeah. Well, they're starting to go away, but there's still a juice plant here in town. And they make a lot of stuff out of oranges. I don't know if you know, dog food and hand soap and just all kinds of stuff. But we have a couple companies that hauled oranges. And Chris, my buddy Chris, was working for them. And he said, man, they're looking for drivers, you know, part-time if you want to drive. And I was working 410s at the time. I was 18 years old. And I hit him up, man, and started working on the weekends just to make a little extra spending money. So I was working power lines 40 hours, and then I'll jump in a semi, go get the loads and drive all weekend, you know, and then save the money from the weekend. But we always tried to convoy with each other everywhere, man. We just felt like it was – I did too. It was so cool to drive and just you know, listen to music, listen to him on the radio, on the CB. I'm telling you, we'd go on these back roads. He'd call the radio station and request Eastbound and Down and Convoy. And they'd play it, man. And he would say he was so-and-so driving and you couldn't wait to hear it. And we'd be, you know, convoying, hauling to a juice plant, and they'd play those songs. And it was just a really cool experience. And when he passed, this song pretty much wrote itself. my family has a wrecker and road service, and that's when I grew up. I was 12 years old changing tires on semis. I mean, it was very hard work, tow trucks and anything doing with trucking, and I was around that business a lot. So I knew a lot about the truck. So it kind of, this song just came a couple of days after he passed, man. I still got recording of, you know, of me putting it down on the phone, you know, recording myself, singing it. And it just started coming, man. And I'm so happy with the song. You know, when I went to the studio, this song, if you listen to it, it's got that kind of like a, think of a galloping horse. Like it's on a journey, and it's a very adrenaline driving song. And I was in my mind. So when you go to Nashville, and I'm sure you guys know this, but in studios, you got to give them a song, an example to the session players of an idea of where you want this song to go, you know, so they pull the right instruments and have that same kind of feeling and try to give you a good product when you leave, you know. And my idea with the song was 8 Second Ride by Chris LeDoux. So if you hear this song, you're going to hear that, you know, if on like 8 Second Ride. And yeah, these guys, I'm telling you, and as soon as you hear the pedal steel coming in, it takes you. I mean, it, and you got to think this guy's, he was my buddy, you know, 10 years old. And then 18, he couldn't wait to get a CDL to drive, you know, and now he's hauling his last load to heaven. You know, he's just, it's a very deep song, and there's a lot of drivers, a lot of people don't realize about trucks, man. Without trucks, America stops, man.
Yeah.
And oh, people don't, they see them all around, you know, but don't realize what they're doing, you know, and how their life is, their lifestyle. So, man, we owe it a lot to truck drivers out there, you know? So I, if anything, I can, you remember, there was some cool music at the truck stops all the time, man. All the tapes and CDs stuff, and the comedy stuff. And I think about all that all the time, you know. And there's only a handful of truck driving songs out there. You can probably count them, you know, maybe 5-10 songs that stand out. The most
frustrating thing for a truck driver has to be stopping at a way station. Has to be. Yeah. Every time I pass a way station, like, I can't believe some guy has to go there and spend 30 minutes of his time at a way
station. And then they get, you know, popped for being 100 pounds over, and they got to sit there and shift their load right there on the side of the road. Some people bring shovels of dirt. They got to move the dirt. You know, like, there's a lot that goes on because they're overweight, you know, so they don't get fined, man. It gets expensive after a while. But that's why you'll see those axles on their trailer. They can move them to distribute, you know, the load different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot to truck driving people don't realize, and anything that we can do to help them out, you know, maybe get them through some times. You know, a while back I saw videos of their kids getting up in their dad's semis and talking on the CB and doing one last call for them after they passed. And just, you know, I hope you're out there, you know. And you hear it's just really, you know, it touches you because it, you know, when you lose somebody, you know, to have a song where you can think about it. I think about this, my buddy, all the time. I mean, when you lose somebody, you know, and I was so thankful to have a song that he always wanted to write a song with me, and we never got the opportunity, but, you know, hopefully me thinking of him in this song that he would think, look down and be like, man, that's a cool song, you know. But any tribute.
Your friend, I just picture as someone that just, like, every day he was just generally excited about things. Like, I could just see him looking at you like, we got to write a song, but being excited about it. I'm going to get my truck. He was just an excited person. Yeah,
he was. You talk to anybody, he was always, anything he ever did, any kind of equipment. Like, he was running, before he left us, he was running a logging division, forestry department. And all the time he'd call me, he's in there in the equipment, like sawing down big trees and these skidders and track loaders. And he's like, man, you got to come out here and just spend a couple hours with me out here, man. We got brand new equipment and, you know, just eating it up, you know. And yeah, it's just crazy, you know, that you never know how short life is, you know. And,
oh, That's what
just
I'm saying.
Just to have this, and you know, I'm so thankful we get to bring this song out there and you know, share it with, you know, truck drivers and their families, and you know, show people what truckers do. You know, a lot of it you can hear in the lyrics, a lot of lingo. You hear a lot of stuff.
Well, that's what I'm going to do now.
You said Bleeding Diesel before. I think that would be a perfect title for a song, you know?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Or an album.
Imagine yeah, or even an album.
He's like, oh, there might be one out there. I don't know.
Yeah. Big Peterbilt on the front.
Yeah.
Oh, did he have a specific
rubber ducky?
Like? Did he like Peterbilt Mac? Like, what was his thing? Did he have one?
I mean, I think I always go to the Peterbilt. You know, long hood, big truck. But he liked anything, man. Diesel, that sucker, man, he'd be out there all day shining his tanks and the wheels. And I mean, he'd be black from head to toe, just being underneath that truck, just polishing it. He just really kept a really clean truck.
I love the cab overs, but they don't have them anymore.
No, that's why I learned cool driving. Trucks. Yeah. That's why I took my CDL and yeah, they're rough. You're sitting on top of the wheel.
Yeah, you're right on the motor.
Yeah.
That's what my grandpa drove.
A clip of the song.
Yeah.
Is there a thing like, you know, there's Peterbilt, Mac, you know, American made, then like Mercedes, Volvo make. Is there a thing that says don't get those? Like, you know, like with motorcycles that happens.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Harley, but don't get a Kawasaki.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's always.
It's the same thing, right?
There's always beef in that field too, just like regular autos. Yeah, there's all. You'll hear it on the, if you listen to CB going down the interstate, you hear a lot of stuff.
I bet. All right, here, I'm going to play a clip of this song. There's no video for it, but, we can all listen and look at each other but think about what Andy just said about what this song is about. And I think that's what, so just pay attention to the lyrics. Last Load to Heaven will be available. I'll get the date here in a second. I just want to play the song.
From boots on to boots off, he's working round the clock. Got the hammer down, running northbound, and he ain't got time to stop. In the fast lane, giving her hell, stuck in that high gear. Riding along with the radio on, with smoke in the atmosphere. He's an angel right high tonight, made it through a heavy storm. The diesel's running through his blood to help him get back home. He had a fist fight with the devil, we knew it wouldn't take him long. Back to the gates of heaven, dropping off his last load.
So that is the song, and a little bit of Charlie Daniels in there. Like, if you had a fiddle, I could easily hear some Charlie Daniels in that if you threw in some fiddle. But
yeah, you could. And probably some little devil went down to Georgia.
That's what I'm vibe, saying. When you had a fan of fist fight with the devil.
Yeah. Yeah. Fight. Yeah, it was great. COVID, man. That was the devil. Got him.
Oh, he died of COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was. I texted him, you know, just if he needed anything. He said, thanks, buddy. And that was it, man, like 30 days.
Was he in the hospital?
Yeah, he was through the whole process, you know, like we all heard on TV and stuff. And it's just, you know, it's crazy, man. You don't even think stuff like that could happen, and it did, you know. And
wow.
And yeah, he had a little dog, you know, he had like two, three kids, just had a little baby, you know. It's like, dang, man, that'll hit you hard, man. But I hope he's looking down, you know, and just,
oh, I'm sure,
you know, looking at the song or anything that we do, I think about him all the time, you know. And we, you know, you grow apart from friends and stuff. So my biggest years with him was like 16 to 25 years old. We were just real tight. And then you know, everybody moves on and get families and stuff, but we still talked, you know,
right.
The memorable. And I think 16 to 25 is probably in your music years and your most growing up years are probably the most memorable times you ever had. You know, if you look back at some memories, I guarantee you there's a memory right in those years that you can, you know, put on the wall. So, yeah, definitely never forget, you know, now we have
what was his name,
share.
Andy? What was
Chris his name? Roberts. Chris Roberts.
Chris Roberts. Yeah. I'm sure Chris is going, thank God you didn't write a ballad.
Yeah.
He probably sounded like a guy that's like, oh, maybe he made it a rock song. I love it.
Nah, he would. Yeah, he definitely let you know quick. He was a funny guy. I still have a voicemail I saved, and I listen to it every now and then. You know, I quit Power Lines and started singing and entertaining and stuff, and he was still, you know, doing his thing. And then my song called "He's a Cowboy," it starts out he's starting off the day with a pinch of skull, you know, in the lyrics. And he calls me one day. He said, "Hey, man," he said, "cowboys get up with a pinch of skull. Songwriters sleep until 11. Give me a call back, man." I still got that voicemail. I listen to it all the time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I was going to try to fit that in there somewhere, you know, and maybe in the video. I really want to do a video for this song. I got some crazy ideas.
Well, that's a great line.
Jared. Yeah.
That's a great line.
Yeah. I talked to Jared about, you know, the whole video process, and he's like, we can do it, you know. And I got a lot of truck driving buddies, you know, so we just got to toss some things around, you know. And after doing the right amount of wrong video, it was a very big expense, a lot of work and time, you know. So we've been pushing that out there and just living it, you know, doing everything we can do as an independent artist. You know, you got to hope you can create something and people enjoy it just as much as you do, you know. So that's
like I said, I think Right Amount of Wrong is a hit song. I think if it gets in front of the right people, like if I was an A&R person or working at a label, that's a song I would immediately grab onto. The first time I heard it, that's a hit song. Like that's a song I could hear through bars and saloons just like what Wink did. I mean, Wink is that type of song, man.
That it's type of vibe. Yeah,
right. She's just the right amount of wrong. You imagine every woman in the country getting their sass on. That's just
they're actually doing TikTok videos. I could see, you know, how you can take the song and put behind dances and stuff like that. I can see that, and they're doing that. The ladies are doing that, you know, drinking or doing something funny. Or she's just the right amount of wrong. Just a real quick thing on that: the Italians actually took that song. So the truck, going back to the truck, as soon as the truck debuted, a guy over in he started a video called the Cowboy Campfire live Facebook
in Italy. In Italy.
Yeah. So he in Lecco, Italy. I'm just learning all this stuff, but he reached out and said he saw the video, saw the truck. He's in the American trucks and just loved it. And his name's Gigio. He saw it. He was like, "Hey, man, I saw the truck. I opened the video and then I heard the song and I was like, man, we got to get this guy on our show." And he reached out to my manager and we hit it off. Everything worked out. I went on his show and he was telling me, about the song and how he had some friends in line dancing that had a line dance school. And we went back they had to actually translate the show. So, and from English to Italian and throughout the whole thing, it was pretty cool. And we did some Ford and Chevy joking around stuff, you know, and he said, "All right, man, we got to surprise you. We can't wait no longer." And I was like, "What, man?" And he shifted the camera over to a TV screen. And the night before, the line dance school of 300 plus members created a line dance for Right Amount of Wrong, like step for step, like 32 step count. I'm talking about professional line dance they call So Perfect. That's the name of it. So Perfect for the Right Amount of Wrong. And they actually have a whole instructional video online now. It's called, if you type in So Perfect line dance, you'll see it. And it's an Italian guy. He's in there in the studio and he's showing the dance. But at 6 o'clock the night before, they were in a parking lot doing this dance. And they wanted to surprise me, with this. I was like, are you kidding me, man? That is just an honor. I got chill bumps when they showed it. I was like, this is great, man. Like, that's the vision that I had, you know, for this song, because it's just got that vibe. It's got a really cool upbeat, you know, get you out of your seat, you know, kind of vibe. And, you know, it's actually on the charts right now. It's out there, or it's on the radio charts. So we're just hoping we can get it up there a little ways and people can recognize it, you know. So, you know, see, if you share it.
You can go to Italy, change the lyrics to "She's the Right Amount of Rome." Yeah. You could
be creative on it.
You don't know, but seriously, man, if you can do shows there, the Italian food alone, like the food in Italy.
I'd probably have to buy an extra seat on the plane to get back.
Remember,
Italy,
I guess they still do. Once upon a time, had a huge love for cowboy stuff.
Oh, man.
All those movies.
They do. Yep. If you watch in Lecco, L-E-C-C-O, Lecco, Italy, they are hands down big time in the country. They actually, Gigio, he lived in Wyoming. He saved up his money, moved out here, I don't know how long, a couple of years maybe, and worked on a cattle ranch. He wanted to be a cowboy his whole life, and worked out here, met some great people, and moved back, started a family, and, you know, and he's doing the cowboy campfire. Pretty cool, man.
Real that Americana is. Right there.
Yeah, they're definitely genuine people, man. And Italian, like my grandfather's full-blooded Italian. I'm Italian. Like my mom, my grandfather, when he was young, was from, what's it? Starts with an N. Naples. Naples, yep. So he's passed on now, but they came over when he was a wee little guy, you know. And
just a wee lad.
Yep. And so I had that little connection, and I used to always, for a birthday gift, love lasagna, right? So I would tell my grandma, like, what do you want for birthday? I was like, oh, lasagna. You know, she'd make me a plate. So I'm a big guy for lasagna.
Don't make me hungry, man.
Man.
What are you doing? Yeah, that's the right amount of wrong to bring up. Yeah. right now. Well, you're awesome, Andy, and I was excited to get you back. I will help continue to push Right Amount of Wrong, because I really think that's a great song. But, you know, when does Last Load to Heaven come out?
10-4. 10-4.
What am I stupid? I brought that up before.
10-4, man. You can't forget that.
10-4.
Yep. Well, to reiterate.
A trucker's tribute, man. 10-4.
So. Don, you got to talk it back. Convoy.
See. Eastbound and Down.
That's one of my favorite guitar solos, Eastbound and Down.
Is it?
That's a great guitar solo, yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Reed, man.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's phenomenal.
You know, before I let you go, I just have to say, because we brought up Wichita Lineman, right? And it was Jimmy Webb wrote that song. Right?
Yep.
And we had Bobby Tomerlin on, who Grizz, I think we were on that interview. We had Bobby Tomerlin. We were talking about Wichita Lineman. We literally
sat there
during the interview and played the song, and we were just getting goosebumps about, you know, on the surface you go, God, a song about a lineman, like Wichita Lineman, how could that be a hit? When you're thinking about a guy, and since you were a lineman, I bet you love that song, because it's about there on the line, like he's channeling the lines, communicating with her, because he's out on working all night long and can't be with her. So he looks at the lines as that connection to her, right?
Yep.
He's out on the line. Is that
It's definitely Lyman's one of their best songs they got, you know, that they're listening to all the time, especially when you're coming up in line work. You know, anything having to do with line work, you're in it. I mean, you try to get your hands dirty on everything. And Wichita Lineman, you're always jamming that one. You know, Glenn Campbell just nailed it, man. That guy, he's a phenomenal guitar player too, man. And definitely, he did a good job.
One day you should just cover that song.
I would have to key it down a little bit, because I the register is like way up there, you know. But I think we could work at it. And you know, I'd have to really spend some time with that. My thing about covering songs is if I can't feel it and show it any justice, I really don't like to cover it, because it, I like to project what I'm feeling internally to the audience, you know. Sometimes you can just cover a song just to, because the people want to hear it. But when we spend a lot of time learning our songs in the band and stuff, and me just solo, I like to do songs that I can feel. That way I can project them better, you know, rather than just kind of just, you know, do just the frosting. I like to give them the cake and everything, you know what I mean? So.
Well, here, I'm going to end it with this, this chorus, because this is what we were reading to Bobby. And I think we just sat there floored, because we never, even Bobby Tomerlin, who loved the song, and he's a tremendous songwriter himself. Mm-hmm. We sat here and I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the wine, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line. And that line of, I hear you singing in the wire, and I can still hear you through the wine of the wires, right? Just that picture of just hearing her through there. I mean, that just changed the whole perception of the song for me when I really just dissected the lyrics, right?
Yeah. So, line work's a whole nother beast. You know, people don't realize in power lines, when, you know, electric goes out, you're all automatically, you're going for the switch, you know, and then you don't realize what's going on behind the scenes 24 hours a day. There's people out there maintaining these lines, you know, for air. There's so many calls, especially in Florida, you know, with the storms and the animals and everything. There's, you know, and so, you know, where Manatee County is, just south, that's in Bradenton area. On the midnight shift, there's one guy that covers that from 11 to 7. One FPO, Florida Power and Light guy, that's patrolling anything that happens, car accidents, hospitals out, whole neighborhoods, anything. And it's a huge area. If they do need resources, they'll call them out. But that guy's just running around putting out fires all night long, you know, just keeping maintaining. You know, it's the crazy.
Unsung heroes. Unsung heroes.
It's definitely. It's very, very dangerous. They used to say the lifespan of a lineman was like 7 years. You know, like back in the day, they used to, before hard hats, they wore felt hats. And they used to use them to beat the fires out. When they'd be up on the pole, they called them flash hats. And they would be able to knock the fires out. You know, it was very low voltage back then. People still died, you know, but the lower voltage, they could control it a little bit. The voltage we got today, no room for error. They call it inches from death. I mean, it's like, if you don't know what you're doing, you can get hurt really bad. You know, so I've been all over storms, traveled all around, worked with some amazing people. I miss all the guys that I used to work with and, you know, and work sometimes, but the music thing is just something I'm very passionate about. And I really enjoy entertaining and, you know, like I said, taking people out of the real world, you know, and something that I can look back and say, you know, at least I put maybe a footprint on earth.
You did it. Well, Andy, again, everyone, Andy Purcell, you're awesome, man.
Appreciate it.
As you get
thanks for hanging out with us.
We'd love that.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate it, y'all. And thank you so much for helping out independent artists. You know,
we
love doing this, man. This is what we do. And we love sharing our stories. And I love hearing from you guys, too. That's pretty awesome.
Man, with a lot of people watching tonight, too. So
awesome.
Yeah, they stayed in there for you. So
good deal.
Love it.
We appreciate it, y'all.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Night.
Matt, Andy, Dean, Grizz. Thanks, guys.
Yep.